The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Bisquick. With Bisquick, you can make homemade pancakes and classic breakfasts for your family. Recipes at bisquick.com.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. They got 2 feet of fresh snow out there, and all the town is white and gorgeous, and these people in big puffy parkas walking around with the big chopper mittens, this sort of amoeba race of people. Hard to tell gender when they're all dressed warmly in scarves and fur hats and so on, and yet they seem to reproduce. Nobody knows how they do this. Maybe through eggnog, or maybe they exchange mittens. We're not quite sure. It's a beautiful time of year in Lake Wobegon. The Peterson family held a big reunion just in time for that big blizzard a week ago. So 38 of them were stranded for 2 days there in Pete Peterson's house out on the edge of town. And there's a wonderful occasion for Norwegians. They thrive on adversity, on suffering. 38 people in a three-bedroom house with three golden retrievers. And the beer was flowing, and they pulled the mattresses out on the floor. People slept heaped up like sled dogs. There was beer. There was Scrabble. There was a big argument over the word pant fumes, whether it's a real word or not. Fumes absorbed by your pants from your car or from whatever. People laughed so hard that they created fumes in their pants, and then that was fun as well. Either it's going to be a prison camp or it's going to be a party. And Pete Peterson and his family had a great time. They were sad when Bud came by with a snowplow and finally cleared everything away. The big Christmas pageant takes place at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility on Tuesday night, and Sister Arvon is directing the pageant again. Sister Gottfried is on medications that will not allow her to direct or to go through any stressful sort of situation, and so Sister Arvon has taken it over again. The donkey is no longer part of the pageant. The donkey had a different view of the pageant. The donkey thought that the pageant was about a donkey and was about people welcoming the donkey and being excited to see the donkey and feeding the donkey chocolate chips and Reese's Pieces and M&Ms, and then a sort of a tug of war with shepherds. And so the donkey has been retired, and there is a pony who will take its place. You do not want the Blessed Virgin Mary to be a pedestrian. You want her to sit up high, so the pony has been brought in. She has cut the finale of the pageant that Sister Gottfried had added 2 years ago, the slaughter of the innocents by King Herod. all the firstborn killed, just a little gory. There were little dolls, a tumbril full of peeped high with dolls that are painted red, and was giving children bad dreams, and so that is now gone. It ends with the tableau, as it should, with the Holy Family and the shepherds and the wise persons and some dogs who are playing the part of sheep this year. It was the annual Lutefisk dinner at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church on Wednesday of this last week. And all of the Norwegians were there in their Norwegian sweaters. And Pastor Liz managed to say grace in Norwegian, though she is Sicilian. She memorized the whole thing. Everybody was watching her to see how she would take to lutefisk, which, as you know, is a form of cod, a sort of gelatinous dish, depending on who's cooking it. Reminds some people of congealed phlegm. But it's what we eat every Christmas. And she's a trooper, Pastor Liz. She walked up, she asked for a double helping, and she just took it all in. She just swallowed it all. Whatever you're going to do, do with the whole heart, it says in Scripture. And she did, and she slammed her fist down on the table, and she said, by God, now that's what I call lutefisk, which they interpreted as a compliment. Senator Kay Torvaldsen brought her a little shot glass with a clear liquid in it, and she tossed it back, and she seemed to freeze there. And for a moment, she couldn't speak. She just kept intaking breath, and her eyes watered, but she slammed her fist down, and she said, yes, God have mercy, she said. And people were proud of her. And the ice fishing season is in full swing now that the ice is a foot and a half thick, so that you can drive out there. And there are almost 100 fish houses out on the lake, these little shacks out there where men go who need to get away from Christmas, when Christmas becomes over-decorated and just too much. And football is not really a solace. Most football games are much too long, and many football games, there's no reason for them to occur, actually. And so you take off out onto the ice. Mel went out to his shack with his cat, and he was alone out there. Mel, who's Lutheran, who doesn't drink at all. A cocktail is as odd to him as an artichoke. But out there in the cold, he had a little flask of bourbon with him to keep the chill off, you know, and to prevent snake bites. The death toll among Baptists must be staggering. He was out there with his old cat who has urinary tract problems and who needs to be massaged in his underparts for him to evacuate his bladder. And it was Mel's turn to do it. Not what he thought he'd be doing in his 60s. His hand underneath a cat and working with him. But he was sympathetic. Mel is older himself. He went down to the car wash, to the automated car wash out behind Krebsbach Chev, coin operated, and pulled in. There are three buttons you have your choice of: standard, premium, or luxury. And he, being a Lutheran, knew that he ought to choose standard, of course. We are a modest people with much to be modest about. But nobody was looking. And it's only a buck and a half extra. And he had enough quarters, so he plugged them in. And he pulled ahead over the little hump till the green light turned red. And the great washers flowed over him, and warm soap suds came down the windshield, and he felt warm and happy, and these big arms came out, and suddenly he was a boy again, and he was in the bathtub, and his mother was giving him a bath. His mother was putting her arms around him with a big towel, drying him off, and he remembered how wonderful Christmas was, his mother cooking it. His mother, who never had to look at a cookbook, ever had to check a recipe, made perfect pies, made perfect turkey every year. He and Darlene cooked a turkey for Thanksgiving, and somehow it was one of those bad turkeys. You find one in every herd, and maybe it got into the PCBs, or the growth hormones were too strong, or ate some Teflon, who knows what. It was in the oven, 375 degrees, for 3 hours, and it just was still raw, just raw. They had to turn up the blast furnace and throw the smoke detector out into the snow, and just flames came out. It was in there for 20 minutes and came out with a hard black shell. It was like the carapace of a turtle. It was all baked hard. People sawed off a chunk of it, and they ate some. They said, yeah, that's good. That's good. A lot of sarcasm in some families, and never tasted anything like it, they said. But you could say the same about roadkill. Say the same about about badgers or weasels, but he wants to make a turkey again. Darlene wants to go to the fallback position, which is salmon. But he wants to do a turkey. He wants his kids to come for Thanksgiving and smell turkey roasting. She's willing to go as far as a turkey in a cooking pouch and stuff it into a microwave. He wants to go all the way. He wants to make a pie in honor of his mother. Though the last time he tried, it turned out to be kind of a fruit cobbler, kind of a fruit soup with little chunky, fibrous things in it. He just wants to have Christmas come out right this year, as everybody does. Pastor Liz was paying visits to parishioners, lonely parishioners, shut-ins out there, people who haven't come to church for a long time. She was making the rounds, had 150 visits, and she was halfway through as of last night. It's very moving for her to go out and visit people in their homes, some of them living all alone. And when she walks in the door, the Lutheran pastor, she can see that they've been looking forward to this for a long time. And they've made banana bread. They've made cranberry orange bread. They want her to sit down. Have some coffee, they say. Sit and stay a while. She's got all these people to visit, but she doesn't dare just rush off. She can see that this is the highlight of their week. So she sits down. She has some coffee, even though she's already had a gallon of coffee today. Her hands are twitching. She can hardly sit still. She sits with them for a while, and they hang on to her. They want to hold on to her. They've made gifts for her. They've knitted a cap for her. They've knitted mittens, maybe. They've made a sachet to put in her clothes drawer. They've made a little book of poems of their own that they've stitched together. And she has to tear herself away from each one so she can go off and see the next. It's so moving to see the loneliness of people, the isolation of good people. The text for the third Sunday of Advent last week was the text from 1 Corinthians 13. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. She had a sermon all prepared when she read the gospel text. The greatest of these is love. But when she read it, she was so moved looking at her people, feeling the loneliness of the world, she couldn't do the sermon. She just looked at them and she said, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Love. Love each other as the Lord loves you. And a Merry Christmas to you. And she sat down. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.